Welcome to episode 3 of the Bogey Boys podcast.
Hello. Back by popular demand, it seems.
It does seem so, yeah. Quite a good bit of feedback off the first 2 episodes.
Pretty sure someone called us the new Scouse Outon Deck.
Don't know, that's going to work with me being so small. I suppose the only similarity is your forehead, isn't it?
Well, you being a blonde midget and me having a big forehead, it works quite well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, yeah. We'll give them
basically that. Carbon copies.
So did you play this week, mate?
Yeah, I played Sunday. It all got bank holiday. The Saturday felt like a Sunday felt like a Saturday.
Yeah, we've had the bank holiday weekend. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, I played Sunday, and I shot 9 over, 2 doubles, come down to 6.9. Not too bad.
No.
You're
getting there. Yeah. You're closing in on me.
Getting there, yeah. It's end of the season. Couple of weeks. I want to be lower than you. Big ass.
Well, you'll have to come and catch me because I'm not playing any tournaments.
I know, yeah.
I'm too scared.
You're going to be fucked when this new handicap system comes in.
No, no.
Best 8 rounds out of 20 or whatever it is. You'll get dumped for inactivity.
But again, another 28 points for me this week.
No way.
Yeah, another 28 points.
A 28 points round for you round 4 will be yours, like a 40 points round SNA for you, isn't it? Because it's so much harder.
Yeah. Oh, the tees were so far forward and we played.
When you go and play with the Blues then? With the big dogs like me?
No, come on. 28 points off the others will do me.
If you want to be a big dog, stop pissing like a puppy.
No, but 28 points, but I did have a bugbear, and it's happened a few times since lockdown. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Now, when you hit it onto another fairway, and there's another group there, and you can clearly see that it's landed on that other fairway.
Sorry, are you waiting for me to speak there? Yeah.
But you can clearly see that it's landed on another fairway. You get over there, and the group that are playing that hole have passed, so you give them a little shout, "Excuse me. Yo, have you seen me ball?" Like, no. I'm like, well, that's strange because obviously the ball's clearly landed. I've seen it, you know, form be all. You can see through the trees.
Yeah.
You know where it's landing. Yeah. So I had to blob that hole.
Is that what the, I seen that you posted on the Instagram, is that what that was about?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of things that you could do for that. You could either start it in your own fairway or fuck off and play your own golf course every week. They're your two options, I feel. But I've noticed, though, it depends. Like, it depends who... You can sort of see if, like, you can look onto the fairway and see the group, what they're wearing and how they're fixed.
Yeah.
Like, if they're a group of lads and they're just going to pick your ball up and not be arsed, or if they're a group of actual members
who have
been a member for a while, they'll leave the ball.
Yeah.
Like, if I see a ball, I just leave it, just in case it could have come from another fairway.
But it wasn't, obviously, I had 4 blobs, 5 bogeys and 9 pars, so no birdies, which is... just a consistent theme in my game at the moment. A lot of scrambling for pars.
The inconsistency comes through not playing.
Yeah.
Once
a week's not enough, is it? On 5?
No.
I am going to start getting to the range more, and I'm playing twice this week. I'm playing Friday and Sunday, so...
out there and playing 3 times, just 1 range session's better, because you get every, like... You can fix things without walking and getting angry, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even going for like a lesson and seeing yourself on video.
Yeah.
Like, I seen myself on video there, and my feet, I was doing the splits.
Oh, was you?
And David had phoned me all, like, we were going to get on, the pro, get some lessons, was saying to me, like, are you joking me here with what you're doing?
Because your feet were so wide.
My feet, my insides of my feet were wider than my shoulders.
What, and you didn't know at all?
And I've got big shoulders, like, do you know what I mean? I didn't know what I was up to. I narrowed everything up, and like, my irons were going well, and the driving was going miles right. Got in there, and he was like, "You didn't narrow the stance with the driver as well, did you?" And I was like, "Well, yeah."
So
he
just
told me what I'm doing.
Narrowed everything.
Narrowed everything. And I don't know what's happened, but I'm going to get back in there anyway this week and get back out there Saturday.
So you're thinking, what with the double bogeys? Were they bad drives?
No, like, because I was in rescue. Like, I went 3 iron off the first, and it rescued F17. It was just it was the approaches.
So what happened on...
scabby, a little hook, like, turning the hands over approaches.
Yeah.
And then flipped one out the bunker into the lake.
That's the worst shot in golf, isn't it? You've got a bunker shot with a lake behind you. It's either staying in, you've got to go through it all again, or it's going straight in the pond, isn't it?
That's it, and then you've just... I just take them bogeys down. I'm coming, I'm flying down, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, no, you know, you seem to be playing well, yeah.
So moving on anyway, that's enough about us.
Yeah, we've got that out the way, but yeah, I'm getting better anyway, and you seem to be playing steady,
It's just devastating that the light's enclosing on us and it's getting into winter.
I know.
I need to get a little golfing holiday somewhere.
We have to get out, won't we? Definitely.
Doesn't work though, does it, them golfing holidays? Because you just go and end up getting booty-faced every night.
Just constantly on the booze.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'd normally at this point, we'd go on to the Order of Merit, and we've had some good feedback on the Order of Merit, people getting in touch. And
people texting in from all angles.
All angles. So we had a good return, and we'll talk about that later, because
I think it was because of the prize that we offered.
Yeah, around with us.
Yeah. I'm thinking they're quite funny. Let's get on with them.
Let's get around with them, yeah. We're going to change it up this week because, as you know, the Tour Championship, which again we'll talk later on in the episode, there's only 30 participants, so the scoring needs to change. So we've done a bit of work on it, and everybody is welcome to get involved. Even if you didn't give us a prediction for last week, there's plenty of points at stake. And yeah, you can carry on playing. We're going to run to the end of the season, up to the Masters, and then obviously we'll pick a winner in the Masters, and we'll sort around in the new year when the course gets in better condition. And again,
is that when we're finishing at the Masters?
Yeah, I think it's only right, isn't it? Because the rescheduling, we run it right up to the Masters. Yes,
I think the schedule's out tomorrow. Fact check.
I read it somewhere. Yeah, okay.
See, I read these things, man, and then they sink in. Or they could be totally made up.
Do you only read? like a couple of lines?
I read the headline.
I'll mention that on the podcast and see what happens.
Yes.
We'll definitely be checking that one out for sure. September the 1st, it's Women's Golf Day, and you touched last week on talking about women's golf and potentially getting a few women golfers to get in touch, just so that we can cover all angles really when it comes to golf, because there was
I watched a bit of it last week, that's why I wanted to sort of touch on it, because I've got a few good points, a few good things to say about it.
The Open, yeah.
Well, not even just the Open, just women's golf in general, because it seems to be growing in Asia. And yeah, because all the leaderboard was stacked with the Asian names.
Yeah.
And then a European ended up winning it, but it just seems like it is growing a lot more in there.
Would you know the story about that, Sofia Popov? Sofia entered the tournament, world number 304, and she's now world number 24. So you've got the world number 24 in women's golf, who can only play on the tour for the next 18 months.
Well, she'll have to pull her socks up then, won't she?
She will have to pull her socks up, yeah.
Because the LBJ have spoken.
The other one is Mike Wan. All the pressure, so he's come out and he's made a statement last week. The rules are the rules.
Who was?
Mike Wan.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mike Wan, as in like our podcast.
Mike Wan.
I thought you got Mike Wan.
Testing. Mike Wan's his name. He's obviously come out because there's been a lot of pressure applied with a lot of the men players on the men's tour making comments about the rule and how she should be given the 5-year exemption, etc. He's come out and he's turned around and just said, look, like every year, we'll review the rules at the end of the year, which I suppose is fair enough, but you just hope that at the end of the year they give her the 5-year exemption.
Because you've got to remember, looking back over the years, there could be lots of people that missed out by one shot and then done something, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And their lives could be changed. So it's like, why change it now when you, like, do you review it when they're going to review it, and that's just the end of it, do you know what I mean?
And I suppose the biggest fuss is because the challenges that she's had along the way.
Yeah.
Do you know, being a brilliant amateur, she's won big tournaments. Okay, she never won a professional tournament until this year, but that's because since she's turned pro, she's been plagued with fatigue problems because of an illness. So she's getting herself, she's dealt with that, she's got herself to full fitness. Give her the 5-year exemption so she can just...
They tagged 4 knee surgeries, 5 back surgeries, going through a divorce, crashed into a fire hydrant, looked in... Got chased by his bird with a golf club.
Okay.
Or we give him one the bogey.
I think we give one the bust.
One the bust then.
So we do birdie, bogey, bust, and I'm thinking one gets the bust.
Let's tweet him.
Let's tweet him. Change the rules, Mike. The bogey boys have spoken.
Yeah.
The LPGA commissioner, you've got the bust.
Yeah.
Not like he's ever going to listen to the podcast and know that
he will be
bust.
Listening.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had we said Rory listening last week, didn't we? Because he must have got off his phone and started playing well. Listening to me.
I know. See, birdie, bogey, bust this week. Mike, Wan, you get the bust. So the birdie and the bogey then. So I'm thinking bogey for this week. It's got to be Mark Leishman. We'll go on to talk about the BMW Championships. I mean, what a tournament and what a finish. But my shout-out goes to Mark Leishman.
Why?
He just didn't give two fucks about the championship. And do you know, I'll explain why. He shot 80, 79, 78, 73 for a total of plus 30. You know, that's my kind of golf.
And he's still in next week.
And he's still in next week.
Mate, he's probably been out getting lumped.
That's what I'm thinking. He's loving. No fucks given by the looks of things. Mark,
I think
Leishman,
we give him the fucking birdie for that.
I know, what are we playing at?
That's what we do.
That is us.
No, plus he's getting 30, the for that.
He's turned up and he's just, he's thought, it's going to take a miracle for me not to make these tour championships. This is the hardest course ever. I'm just going to fuck about.
I wonder if he actually just was getting, like, just not asked.
He must have been, though.
He's got a grass fetish, you know.
Fat, yeah.
Honestly, he comes home, like, from every tournament, gets off the plane, the first thing he does is take his shoes off and just mows the grass.
What are you on about?
That's what he does.
There's no way.
I promise you.
Where did you find this information?
Oh, I've read that somewhere again.
Have you, yeah?
Fact check that.
Title?
What?
Just the title again?
No, no, I've seen the video of him walking with his lawnmower.
Let's fact check that, definitely.
Fact check that. Yeah.
So the birdie for this week, there's only one winner. John Rambo.
Yeah.
He came out of nowhere. Friday afternoon, he finishes his round at plus six. He goes and shoots 66, 64, and holds that absolute monster on the playoff hole.
In a playoff. But then, do you know what I think we should do? I think we should give him the bogey. Because if he'd just marked his ball on the Saturday or whatever it
he
was,
wouldn't have to go
he wouldn't have to go through all that shit. Do you know what I mean?
There's arguments both ends, isn't it? Like Mark Leishman, does he get the birdie or the bogey for being a legend and shooting 30 over and still playing the tour championships?
Yeah, and then...
And does John Rahm not?
He just made it so much harder for himself.
Yeah.
Like, even DJ dropping that bomb wouldn't have meant nothing if he'd just marked his ball.
Yeah.
Like, marking your ball, it's like... It's like taking a ball with you. It's the golf course, the same thing. He just picked it up.
That was...
He says something like, I think he said something like, my mind was just so far away on other things. Like, what?
I know, what are you thinking of that you can't mark him up? Controversially, we'll go birdie John Rahm, bogey yeah. Mark Leishman, and bust Mike Wan. Like we said, order of merit this week. Who did you go for, Kev? What were your picks?
I went for Kevin Kisner.
Yeah.
Because he was in form, not because
his name was Kevin.
Not because his name was Kevin. Hideki Matsuyama, because of last year's performance.
Yeah.
And Tiger Woods, because I love him.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. That's.
Who did you have?
I went for Bryson DeChambeau, and I went for Dustin Johnson for obvious reasons, yeah. Which was proven correct.
Like everyone else.
I know, we had so many picks for DJ, didn't we? And Daniel Berger. We both had the top three, which gets you 15 points, and that's all we finished on. There was no cut this week, so we didn't do the minus five plus five.
But we did have one person who obviously didn't listen to last week's podcast.
Yeah.
You can't be joining the order of merit and not listening, because I totally fact-checked that.
Webb Simpson
dropped out, and he picked them, so we lose 25 points.
We got a minus 25 points of Webb Simpson, yeah. And the rules, we went through this in episode one, didn't we?
We did.
Even if they withdraw the day before, 2 days before, if you picked
them... An hour before, like Koepka,
then if you picked them, they're gone. So no, it was a good turnout. We had a total of 9 players who picked DJ.
How many did we get in total?
We had 19 people, yeah. It was a good turnout, yeah. And as I say, the leaders are on 40 points at the moment, so... it's catchable. I mean, you're 25 points for a win. As I say,
well, like DJ Rahm, like they were. I was going for the sneak attack.
You was, yeah.
And so then the form prevailed.
Form did prevail, yeah. So we had two people who picked DJ and Rahm. Stormer. Luckily, they didn't have anybody else, so they got 40 points. They got the 25 points for the win and the 15 points for DJ in second place. So
let's hope they back them in the bookies as well, get a bit of money for themselves.
Yeah, so 9 players picked DJ, me included. You got your 15 points if you chose him. Like we said, we had one pick Webb Simpson. We got a minus 25 points. and that was our, we've had our first 25 pointer for a win and our first minus 25 pointer all in the first week.
Goes off, doesn't it?
It does
in
go
the
off.
Older a minute.
Yeah. So don't forget your picks in this week at the Tour Championship. As we said, we're going to mix it up slightly. We'll explain that a little later when we do our picks. We'll lay out exactly how the points are going to
work. We'll stick it on the Instagram as well.
We will, yeah. We'll stick it on the Instagram. So, as I say, the tournament starts on Friday, not Thursday this week. So,
does it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Labour, something to do with Labour Day?
Yeah.
Is it? Because that's what's
going to start. Oh, yeah, it is actually. Labour Day is a bank holiday. Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's right.
I've been to Vegas.
Statement.
I've been in America on Labour Day, it's nuts, man.
So yeah, get your picks in before Friday, or on Friday early, and we'll go again. We'll explain how the tournament, the point system's going to work this week, because as I say, we've only got 30 players in the Tour Championship, there's not going to be no cut, and the point system from the FedEx is finished. So, like we've spoken in the last couple of episodes, we've got the leader starting on minus 10, minus 8, minus 7, and so on and so forth. So we'll cover that off later in the episode. But John Rahm's putt.
You got what you've been asking for.
I got exactly.
A bit of emotion. See, DJ's done.
Well, this is what
DJ went.
He remembered where he was.
I thought he was going to go mad, and then like he just chilled.
That's the most you get. He sort of done the fist pump. No.
I think if that was for the win, he would have went mad.
Yeah. No.
No.
Well, he wasn't the one as mad as John Rahm, would he?
No.
The man. He was just
mad.
But even watching him through the week, even like knocking putts in, chipped in once, and he was just going nuts. And it's like, that's exactly what you want to see.
I can't believe he's only 25, mate.
Seems like he's been around for ages, doesn't he?
He looks about 40.
He doesn't, yeah. Coming from you.
I look 50.
Yeah. 66 foot. But it's not exactly, it wasn't exactly an easy putt. Do you know what was funny about the...
Easy,
the,
it was a quadruple break.
Do you know what was funny about it? When he's walking up, the commentator said something along the lines of, this is probably going to be the hardest two-putt of his career. And then when he was standing over it, the other commentator mentioned in his first PGA Tour win, where he held an absolute monster to win that. And he said, this reminds me of, I can't remember what the tournament was, this reminds me of that. And it went, and it just went, and it just went 66 foot, snaked right in, and he just went off his nut.
I've seen a video of these four fellas must have played the tournament, the course of straight after the tournament, or the next day.
Yeah.
And they've marked out where, it was on like the PGA Tour Instagram.
Yeah, I've seen
they've
it,
marked
yeah.
out, and then the last fella gets it.
He gets it, holds it. How good would that be?
Oh, unreal.
Yeah, he was tied 51st after day one on Thursday, John Rahm. And then he was plus 6 after Friday. So, I mean, I know the scoring was...
Yeah, it was hard.
It was horrendous, yeah. But he shot 66-64, so 10 under par to finish 4 under. And that's with his one-shot penalty for not marking his ball.
What day did he not mark his ball? Was it the Friday? No, it was the Saturday.
It was the Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, the Saturday.
Yeah.
So that should have been a 65.
Yeah, so he should have been 65-64. Just marked his ball, he wouldn't have to go through
the rigmarole. Do you know what he said straight after the round on the Saturday?
Yeah.
He said, oh, I hope it doesn't just come down to one shot. You know, with his American scouts, his American Spanish accent that he's got. And it did, yeah.
Cool.
He prevailed, didn't he?
He did. We wouldn't have been able to see that putt if it wasn't for DJ draining that 1-18 to close the playoff.
That's it.
That was unbelievable. We were so close to getting a bit of emotion, didn't we? It was just like... Go on, just lift a hand in the air, and he just wouldn't have it. So, but you know, looking at his statistics on that day, he was 41 for 41 for putts inside 5 feet.
DJ was
solid, yeah.
Yeah,
for the whole week. Makes a difference.
I don't get excited by that stat, though. You know,
no.
I just think that's what they should be. I don't think they should miss from inside 5 feet.
Yeah, but it wasn't exactly easy green. See how fast he went.
Yeah,
I wouldn't like
that. 5 foot.
5 foot, still 5 foot, isn't it? Probably the same size as me.
Exactly, midget.
Tapping.
Yeah. But I don't know, I do get it, I do like it, but...
Yeah.
When they talk to me when they're into 10 feet draining everything...
That's going to impress you.
That'll impress me, yeah.
Coming from you, who's a brilliant putter then.
I putted so well on the weekend.
That's a change. And still shot nine over.
Exactly. Because of Dave, then.
So our bust last week, we called him out, Rory McIlroy, didn't we?
We did.
We called him out, and he's obviously listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
Listened to everything Kevin said about data
digital minimalism.
Digital minimalism. Yeah. Yeah. So hi Rory, you're listening again.
I think I just give him a little reminder.
Yeah. Look, get your phone back in your pocket. Yeah. News broke, didn't it, that his partner's pregnant.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, he said he was going to leave the course at any time, whenever.
This is what I mean, yeah. So he's obviously got his phone out, hasn't he, to check if anything's come through, and that's
why he's went to bits. Last day. Honestly, we're on to him.
Yeah. So if you're listening, Rory, which we know you're not.
We all know you are.
Yeah, congratulations on the news. He did come close and he played well. One thing that stood out was he changed his drive this week. And oh my God, have you seen the statistics for his drives on the Friday?
You know you're the stat man.
10 drives in excess of 300 yards. His biggest one was down 11. 389 yard par 4. And he's knocked it 377 yards to the front of the green. Four of the drives were over 350.
Maybe a shaft change as well.
Is it just he went back to a driver that he was using earlier on in the year.
See when DeChambeau's messing with the loft?
Yeah.
Putting it to 5 degrees and
doing
all this swinging. He's probably like doing the same.
Yeah. That's what you think, yeah. Where's
you know,
that from?
You know I come with opinion. You come with fact.
Yeah, there's a bit of disappointment for us though as well, weren't there?
Oh mate, Woodsy.
Woodsy's gone, we won't see him this week.
Gutted, but I just still feel so positive that he's going to be practicing for the US Open and the Masters.
Yeah, it's not as though we're not going to see him.
It's not like end of season till April, is it? Like we were discussed.
Listen to a few interviews, he's done after he'd finished as well, and he was saying he's not piecing it all together. He's doing some good things, some bad things. He gets to evaluate how those two tournaments.
And he probably gets to evaluate his body as well.
Yeah.
How his body's keeping up. Rest
how
he's
for a few days.
How it's strained over that he's played 2 weeks, hasn't he?
2 weeks in a row, yeah.
So then, and there's no cut as we've played for 8 consecutive rounds in 14 days.
Yeah.
And see how the body is, do you know
exactly.
what I mean?
And you got the practice as well, leading up to it.
Yeah.
He played at Winged Foot, didn't he? Where the US Open's going to be. He had a practice round there with Thomas, yeah. So, it calls an end to his 2020 playoff reign. He finished 63rd in the FedEx ranking. Obviously, it's only top 30 to get in. He actually finished with a score of 11 over. He failed to break 70 on all 4 days, so... That type of...
Relatable, isn't it, that name?
Very
close to relatable, yeah. Isn't it?
But there's also another few... There's a few more big names that we won't be seeing, at least like this week. Jason Day, he's not there. Paul Casey's not there. Patrick Cantley's not there.
No?
No. Bubba Watson, Matthew Wolf, Adam Scott, Gary Woodland. A few major champions.
Jesus.
Yeah. All missing out.
It's a cruel school. Like you've got to be the top 30 over the year.
It is. It's mainly the
and obviously your name means nothing, do you know what I mean?
Doesn't know you, but definitely to that target. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, definitely. So now it's time to talk about our perfect golfer.
Yeah.
Par 3. So you moaning last week that I've been first the last couple of times. So
I wasn't moaning. You just said you were going to pick Tiger Woods, and I said, "Well, I'm first next week."
Yeah, you're moaning. So go on, you take it away. This week,
right?
It's our chipper.
Yeah, the chipper. Yeah. So I'm going for. Just going to bowl straight in there with who I'm going for. Arjun Antwell.
What? Who?
Arjun Antwell.
Who's he?
He's a 47-year-old Indian golfer, and he's won 60,000 in his life.
So well,
his statistics from the rough, up and down from the rough, are the best on the PGA Tour.
What fact check? What statistics have you been looking
all
at?
All time.
All time?
From the rough, yeah.
When was the last time he played?
I don't know.
I want that retired Indian in my team.
Because I was googling most chippings ever in PGA Tour history, and then I was thinking, should I pick Seve?
No, so the perfect golfer is because the idea is we're going to have a perfect golfer, my golfer against your golfer, and then each year we'll do it based on the statistics. So this is part one.
Yeah, well, I want like when you know like the Tiger Woods, the game where you unlock a secret character.
Yeah,
I want to pick Seve.
I think we'd all have Seve, lad. Come on. Okay, so you're going for the Indian. You still want to go with that?
Yeah, I'll stick with him, yeah.
Okay. It'd be interesting to fact check that to see what he's up to now.
I'm going to stick it up on the Instagram later.
See if anyone knows him. Right, you caught me off guard there. I have no idea. Yeah, not half, yeah. So, as we stand, you've got... We have the tee shots and approach to the green sorted. So you've gone for Brooks Koepka off the tee, which you spoke about. Bryson DeChambeau from the rough. And...
Well, just DeChambeau's hitting the greens, that's where that goes. So we'll look for the best player from the rough up and down.
Okay.
And it was Arjun Antwell.
Arjun Antwell. Oh my god.
Watch him win next week or something now.
Right.
He's still playing. He's my boy anyway.
He's your chipper. Okay, let's go for that. Let's go for that. That's fine. I'm going to be going more of a statistical approach.
Well, sure. I actually went statistical on this one.
Yeah.
And I've come up with that. That's why I stay
away.
Lead
me to the stats,
mate. Just stay away from statistics, man.
You just keep winging it like Kev.
Yeah.
So, I've looked at scrambling statistics and sand saves. So, the sand saves are calculated from the number of times the players will enter the greenside bunker, and they'll either hole out from the bunker or they'll chip it out and they'll just take one putt.
Yeah.
So, essentially, what you're doing there is you're dividing the number of bunkers that they've entered by the number of sand saves made. So we've got some statistics to look at that from that perspective.
Fucking hell, you didn't tell me you were going that deep into it. I just, listen, you're
the one who called out, this is a competition between me and you, I'm going to beat you at everything.
Yeah, but I didn't say you were dividing your sand saves by your putting times by how many fucking wedges you've got in your bag.
No, but this is, I'm just explaining how sand saves are calculated.
All right.
So we've got from a scrambling perspective, this is calculated from a chip or a putt off the green, so not in the sand, but it's got to be less than 50 yards away, and that results in either a hole out from the chip shot or the putt off the green, or a one putt once they get it onto the green. And again, that's worked out by the number of greens missed divided by the successful scrambles. From my little book of statistics, from a sand saves perspective.
I feel like pouring a bit of water on your legs, you're getting very dry. Go on, brother.
The tour average, 49.57% for sand saves. The person...
That's really high, isn't
it? Yeah. What's, do you know what it's like? What did you do on the sand on 17?
Pouring the water.
Straight in the lake, so... It's not easy. My pick, who I won't name just yet, his... sand save percentage is 61.36%, so it's above average. He has been in 88 bunkers and he's had 54 saves.
I was just about to say that, because the better you're playing, the less bunkers you're probably going to go in.
Well, this is it. So there's
so then you, like, if you're in one bunker and don't get up and down, your sand save percentage is none, even though you could be winning tournaments.
But obviously it's
Spanners.
You're a major Spanners. You're trying to knock me off guard. What are you doing?
Oh, God.
So he makes the top 20. He's currently tied 8th this season for sand saves. He's also in the top 20 for scrambles. So the tour average for scrambles is 58.46%. So it's only 10% higher on the average, which shows that it's much easier for the pros to get up and down from greenside than it is for getting up and down out the bunker. So we've got, he's played 58 rounds, and his percentage of saves is, again, it's above 60%. He has gone.
So you've got a little mix of the
64.63. So he's above average on both, and he is in the top 10 for sand saves and just outside the top 10. So he's a solid pick. He's also a big name in the game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of his. But I just want to be...
a little drum roll there.
Before I move on to telling you who I've picked, I just want to mention a few of the statistics. So, Bud Cawley is number one for sand save. He's 15th in the scrambling. So he's a capable player around the green. But he's got no PGA Tour victories.
Well, that scrambling must be from, like, the fringe or, like, from the fairway.
From 50 yards.
Scrambling,
less than 50 yards.
Scrambling from the rough. Arjun Atwell is number one.
Yeah, but what's the distance on that?
Doesn't say.
And what year is that?
This season.
See, I've never even heard of Arjun Atwell. How many rounds has he played? Is that off one round?
I don't know what's going on.
Leave the stats to me.
Yeah, I'll leave that.
You see, if we'd have teamed up with our perfect golfer, then we wouldn't have this problem. But you wanted to compete against me, so
I'm still gonna win.
Okay. So yeah, Bud Cawley, he's no PGA Tour victories. He's going to get a career high of third. And under pressure, I just think he's got a few Jason Duffners in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that under pressure, you know, needs to get up and down on 18 to win a tournament on a Sunday. I'm not giving him a wedge. I'm just not giving him it. Brendan Todd.
Regretting me picking him.
Are you?
And tell us what, I forgot about pressure and all that.
Arjun Atwell rocks up.
Yeah.
Hasn't played for 3 years.
Yeah. I'm regretting everything though.
So Brendan Todd, he's another who's got great statistics this year. You know, he's been around. Last year he was ranked 508th. He's now up to 39th in the world.
Nice.
He's playing really well. But again, it's just this season. Obviously, look at his statistics last season. He was ranked 508th in the world for a reason. So when you look at his statistics, he's sixth in sand saves, which is above the player I've chosen, and he's second in scrambling. So this season he's been brilliant, and I know we've said we're just going on these season statistics, but I've got to think about how my man's going to handle the pressure.
Totally forgot about pressure, mate.
You did. So I'm going for the beast that is Bryson DeChambeau.
Are you now?
Yeah. That's who I'm going for. So Bryson DeChambeau.
He's going to be knackered, isn't he? We're playing all my approach shots and then playing all your chip shots.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah. So that's who I've gone for, Bryson DeChambeau.
Right.
He's 8th in sand saves and 13th in scrambling. He's above the tour average. And I think he's going to... Nothing phases him. He doesn't take any shit off anybody, really, does he, on tour? You know what he's
no.
like.
And I know I don't really like DeChambeau because I'm a big Koepka fan and they have beef.
Major.
But watching the practice round before the tournament this week when he was playing with Kevin Nardin, who else was there?
Marikawa, yeah.
And Max Homer.
Yeah, Max Homer, yeah.
Doing it like a new mic'd up.
Yeah.
Good bit of banter out of DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Even like I bet you 10 grand and get over the ditch.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
That. Like,
straight over. And he did.
To him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, but with a duck hook.
I wish I could hit a duck hook that far.
Yeah, well, like,
I have plenty of duck hooks and I can never find my ball. Someone's always robbing them.
I know this is probably for another podcast again, but like, micing them all up.
Yeah.
Would be good, wouldn't it?
It would.
Because then player... It had the interactions that you hear, like you only hear some of them. The boss, aren't
I think, especially at the minute when you've got no fans,
yeah,
it'd be good because it gives you an insight into the players, and it'd be interesting to see. Obviously, because when you're watching it, you'd only ever see the players that are at the top of the leaderboard, unless it's Tiger Woods. They'll show Tiger Woods, but the likes of Mark Leishman, I'd love to see him mic'd up this week,
yeah,
30 over par, shooting 80, just to see exactly what's going.
Just
through
to
his
see
mind.
It, like. It'd be interesting, like, the conversations when they're actually in contention 1 week and then they're out of it. How much they're even talking to the caddy or just saying, what's the number, give me the club,
yeah.
And just, you know, you just lose interest.
Yeah, of course,
you lose interest
yeah,
every
yeah,
day, don't you?
Course,
so,
yeah.
On every round.
If he's calculated that come Sunday, doesn't matter what I do here, I'm in the Tour Championships.
Yeah.
Probably carried his own bag.
Yeah, probably just whacking it, like, just... But it would be interesting, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah, it would. We've decided on our chippers then. So next week we'll do the putting. And we're going to have a couple more and then we're done. So yeah, so you've got Brooks Koepka off the tee.
Wallop.
Wallop in the rough. Bryson DeChambeau out the rough.
Wallop.
Wallop. And then...
I'll have to get his name up again. Arjun Atwell.
Arjun Atwell.
Yeah.
You better be hoping Bryson is the green, mate.
Yeah. I'm going to pick a sick putter.
This we said last week. I'm gonna pick a
well, I did. I went from scrambling from the rough. Statistic number one. Arjun Atwell.
We'll have to have a look at what statistics you're looking at there. So mine, I've got Doc Redman off the tee, Justin Thomas out the fairway, 70% of the time.
Yours is looking nicer.
Bryson DeChambeau to trust on me up and downs, and then obviously next week, who's gonna be clutch enough to knock those putts in? I had something in my head. But after watching the golf these last couple of weeks, my head's turning. So it'd be interesting to see who we give the magic stick to.
Alright.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm gonna really get to work this week.
Yeah. Are you actually going to do a bit for once?
I'm really going to do it.
That'll do. So
well, look what happens when I do a bit. Do you know what I mean? You start picking all madness, crazy people maybe you've never heard of, thinking he's got good percentages. I like to just think with my mind and just go with it.
Well, there's so many
feelings.
I mean, if you were going to wing it, I'd have expected you to say Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
Because obviously, Phil Mickelson's a magician around the green, so at least you could argue that that would be.
I know, but he's done me. I think I was that scene you saw there missing the cup.
Like
purpose.
Cheating, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're on to you, Phil.
We know.
If you're listening.
We know you listened last week.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
We're moving on to what? The Tour Championship review now?
Yeah, so the Tour Championships this week. The week we've been waiting for starts on Friday. I love it.
15 million.
15 million for the winner to 60 million pace. So, yeah, this is where the points finish and the shot advantage start. But it's interesting because
just think though, if you double the first hole, you make a bogey. They make a birdie. It's all square.
Well, this is it. Rory started last year 5 under, and he won by 4 shots.
Right.
So. That's a 9-shot turnaround.
Yeah.
So even
it
people,
can be done.
Even people at 1-2 under, there's a possibility that can happen.
Yeah. Easy.
You know. So.
Well, that's the front runners are in major form. Like.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's going to be a tough one because it's a bomber's course. I know we say this every week, but this really is a bomber's course. It's 7,346 yards as a par 70.
Monster.
And you've got DJ at the top who bombs it.
It's interesting that they play. This at Eastlake every year, but then they don't.
Yeah, they mix the other playoffs. Yeah, I like that. I like the change. Yeah, because then you're familiar to once the top 30 are in, the top 30 are playing that specific course. Just looking at the scenes in 2018, we'll never get better scenes than that.
No.
When Tiger was walking down 18.
Unreal.
Do you know if you get another moment similar to that, just picture them all walking behind them and it's just
amazing.
Yeah. So this week you've got the top 30 golfers in the FedEx ranking. Head over to Atlanta to play Eastleigh in the Tour Championships. I've just mentioned that it's a bomber's course. The course plays very long.
You just brought it back, me hating Justin Rose again there, because I was watching it.
Yeah.
And then they actually all boo.
Yeah.
As he knocks the putt in, and
yeah.
He goes, come on. Like,
yeah.
Felt a bit sorry for him, like, but that, yeah. You've just brought that memory back.
But that, yeah, but he still walked away with a silly amount of millions
of
pounds. So,
he did.
The course plays long, as we've said. It's tree-lined, fairways. A bomber's course. The signature hole is the 15th. That's a 200-plus-yard par 3, surrounded by water. And it could be a big decider on the final day.
It's not that deep, the green, either, when I was looking at it.
No, it's not.
It's not deep. Coming in from that far.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Yeah. So it's going to make... Obviously, you go in the water, it's got fire written all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The pin is going to be flirting on the right-hand side, you know, because that's where the lake is on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to go left. You're going to leave yourself an absolute monster putt. Do you know what I mean? So are you going to...
Just get out of there.
This is only the second year that the Tour Championship is being played under the new system, which we spoke about over the last 2 weeks. So the ranking points finish now. So based on whether your first position or 30th position will determine your starting score. Number one starts at 10 under and then that goes right down like we've explained. We've also posted this on our Instagram page. So if you want to see who's playing where and how many shots they are behind, there's a picture on there. And it goes right down to those placed 26 to 30th. They'll start 10 shots back on even par. And it can be done.
Easily, yeah.
Rory proved it last year. He started the tournament -5. He went on to win by 14 shots and he posted 13 under over the 4 rounds. Finished the tournament 18 under and his nearest competitor was Xander Schauffele, 14 under par.
It can be done, like.
It can. Justin Thomas, he started last year as the Tour Champion leader at 10 under par, but he finished the tournament only 13 under par. So over the 4 days, he only shot 3 under. And as you know, if you have a bad tournament, that's possible to happen. So you've got people 7, 6 under who can have a 10 under. And straight away, the 3 shots ahead over the 4 tournaments. So it can switch and change. 10 under par, Dustin Johnson. 8 under par, John Rahm, the top two, the most informed players. Both of them in a playoff last week. DJ winning with the 30 under par the week before.
Yeah.
They're going to be difficult to catch. But last year showed that it's not a cert. I mean, there was another player in contention last year, Patrick Reed. He started the tournament 6 under par, but his 4 round total was 1 over, so he finished the tournament on 5 under par. So he started in a decent position. He was fourth or fifth in the total rankings. Got a good starting position, but just couldn't capitalise on it.
That's it, like. And DJ could easily fall back into that pre-lockdown form where he was 54 over for 9 rounds.
Fact check.
Whatever.
What was it? 24 over.
He was 23 over in 3 rounds.
Right. So you just times that by 3.
I just made things up again. Winged it.
You've seen the title.
I've seen the title. DJ playing shite and just made the rest up.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the Tour Championship, and that will conclude the playoffs. Mm. The winner will pick up $15 million.
I just can't stress enough how buzzing I am that the playoffs are going to end and we've got 2 majors to come this year.
I know.
Because even in November, you've got November, and you can. I wonder how Augusta's going to be playing in November.
Well, you've got the Zozo Championships. That's in October. That's just being changed. So
it, yeah.
Because of the restrictions, that's not going to be in Japan this year. It was in Japan last year.
Yeah.
No, Tiger won the Zozo last year. That's where he tied the record with Sam Snead, wasn't it, of 82?
Yeah.
So this year, it's going to be played in California.
All right, so you've got the US Open.
You've got the US Open in 2 weeks' time, which is the middle, the week of the 18th of September. And then the 22nd of October, you've got the Zozo. And then November, you've got the Masters. 12th. You've got the Masters. So there's plenty of tournaments to still play. You've also got, we don't talk about this as much, but you've also got the BMW Championships at Wentworth.
That's
in a couple of weeks, so you'll have a number of big players who'll go over there.
I went down there last year.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Like a rudimental world.
Was it
like a festival?
Was it?
It was mad.
See, these are the things that we're missing out on this year because of the COVID. But hopefully next year, once all this is settled down, we'll be able to go out and we can take some videos and we can post these videos up on.
I want to go down there and do like an interview. Me and you get our bogey boys sign and just do interviews with all the players.
Oh yeah, I think that's quite easy to do. You just turn up and just get a mic out.
Well, that's exact. We can't even get the mics right in the house.
I know.
Never mind, taking it on tour.
Tommy, can you just wait there a sec? We've just got a few audio difficulties.
Testing.
Order of merit picks this week. Because there's only 30 players in the tournament, the pointing structure has to change.
Pointing?
The point structure.
Yeah.
So we've got no cut in the field. There's a scoring advantage for those at the top, which we've just discussed. Based on where the players are at the start of play on Friday, if you choose DJ, for example, and he wins because of the advantage he's got, you'll score 10 points. And then if he finishes in the top 3, you take 2 points off that, so you'll get 8 points.
Yeah.
And then if he finishes in the top 5, you'll take 5 points off that. So if you pick DJ this week, you'll get 10 points. If he comes in the top 3, you'll get 8 points. And if he comes in the top 5, you get 5 points. And this is a consistent theme going down. So if you pick Rahm to win, because he's a couple behind, you'll get 12 points. 10 points for top 3, and then 5 points for...
We'll have to put that out on the Instagram because it's very confusing.
It is confusing, but essentially, if you pick the players that are ranked 26 to 30, who are 10 shots behind, and one of those go on to win, you'll get 50 points.
Right, I see.
So,
I see.
Yeah, the lower you go down. So, but if you pick somebody like Mark Leishman, who's 25th, and Mark Leishman miraculously turns that plus 30
he probably will then that's
going to get you 40 points. And again, if he finishes in the top 3, then you'll get 38 points, and if he finishes in the top 5, you'll get 35 points.
I see, so there's a gambling element to it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, so it's the only way that we can really do it. So if you go for somebody lower in the table and you pick those, and they finish top 5, for example. So it's worth doing that, but because there's only 30, instead of having 3 picks this week, you're only getting 2.
Yeah, okay.
So risk reward, it might be worth you picking somebody at the top and then picking somebody at the bottom.
Yeah.
So you're guaranteeing your points, vice versa. I haven't done that. I've gone for 2 in the middle. I've gone for Justin Thomas as my first pick.
Middle?
Well, yeah. Well, he's
third.
Well, yeah. middle to top.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas, you have a bone to pick with the competition. We spoke earlier. He started in the DJ position, minus 10, and he was the one being chased.
Well, he thinks he'll be up for it this year.
I think the pressure's off. He's not. Since winning the St Jude earlier in August, he's recorded tied 37th, tied 49th, and last week tied 25th. So he's not in the best of form, but starting 7 under, he's only 3 back, and he's already recorded 3 wins this season. So he's a man that you can never really write off. He can turn up at any point. So I'm going for JT this week. My other pick, Bryson DeChambeau. As we mentioned earlier, it's a bomber's course. This course is set up perfectly for him. And Rory McIlroy showed last year that it's not impossible to come back from a few shots behind. He was 5 back in the beginning, and ended up winning by 4 shots. So Bryson's 6 under. 6 back. He's 4 under.
Yeah.
But the only risk with this one is obviously chasing some unbelievable in-form golfers. So they're the two I'm going for, JT and Bryson DeChambeau. Who've you gone for?
Well, I'm going for another heart one again. I'm going for Joaquin Niemann.
Yeah.
Because my brother's wife is Chilean.
Yeah, makes sense.
And that seems to be...
But he's playing well, though.
No, yeah.
But he was nearly one last week.
He come third last week.
Yeah, he's playing really well.
But he's 2 under going into. He's still 8 shots behind.
Yeah, but so what position is he in the rankings?
He is 18.
So 18, so if he wins, you're going to get 30 points for that.
Yeah.
So it's worth the risk. But if he gets top 5, so he's only 3 shots back from top 5, you're only going to knock 5 points off that. So you're going to get 25 points if you finish your top 5.
I like that.
Yeah.
And also, I'm going to stick with my man, Hideki.
Hideki Matsuyama. So where is he at the moment?
He's 10th. So he's minus 4.
So yeah, same starting position as Bryson. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's playing consistently. He had a...
He was leading the course first day.
Yeah.
Playing well, and then...
The last 2 rounds, played with DJ, maybe was the decider for him.
Could have been.
Saturday, Sunday with DJ, maybe.
So I'm sticking with Hideki, and I'm going with a little heart one.
Yeah.
With Niemann.
Joaquin Niemann. Good choices, yeah. So there are picks.
Yeah. People can get involved again, and we'll post the table.
That's it, yeah. And just to let you know, the podcast now is across all platform, so you can get it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts.
Breaker Pod,
Anchor, Castbox,
something else.
Yeah, but if you just want to go straight onto the Apple and Spotify Podcasts, we'll be posting the Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcast links through the social media, so just keep an eye out for them. But that'll do us for this week.
Yeah,
we hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you enjoy this week's Tour Championship. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some guests on, and we're going to change the format up a bit. We're going to conclude the Perfect Golfer over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. We're going to do a little structure on how hard it is to be a professional. We're going to do a couple of, again, a few guests on who have been professional and what routes they went and how... So if you know anyone that's young and up and coming and wanting to turn professional, maybe a good time for them to tune in and like realise that it's not all... rainbows and butterflies out there. There's a lot of loneliness and hard times. And
yeah, definitely.
And we're going to just basically show you a bit of a more negative side of golf, like we like to do.
That's a nice way to finish. But until next week, we will see you soon.
Ciao.